It's good to see everybody tonight, and I really appreciate getting to be able to preach. I'm really sorry Brother Raines wasn't here. He and Brother Wells were two of the really motivating factors for me to come. I'd have come anyway, but I was really the icing on the cake when I heard they were going to be here. Amen. And I hope Brother Raines gets well soon. Yes, let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And while you're just turning there, I want to thank the ladies for the lunch we had today. That was really good, and I really wanted that. It was really tasty. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verse 12 and verse 13. There were many things said in the two messages this morning about the Word of God. And it always is striking to me that in the meetings, not in all meetings, but some meetings, how that you come with something on your mind and you find out that others have been impressed or led in the same way. And that's what my experience was this morning. So I want to preach on this subject this morning, the Word. I would preach on it tonight. I'd preach on it this morning too, but I'll preach on it tonight. The Word of God, verses 12 and 13. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you to be able to be in your house. We thank you, dear God, for what we've been able to hear thus far, for the good spirit in the meeting. And Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice and the effort, the energy that goes into getting this conference ready every year. We thank you for this good church and the members that are so selfless in all that they do and the preparations for it and the conduct of it. We pray that you'll bless now as we turn into your word, that your spirit will guide and direct. And Lord, you'll open our ears and our hearts and our spiritual eyes. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a very familiar verses of scripture, especially verse 12. But the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Please be seated. Now I want to just mention in the first place, there's three things that stand out in this passage of scripture by way of natural division. I want you to take a note of these three things. The first thing, talking about the Word of God, the Bible is talking about the ability that there is in the Word of God. It's all we need. Amen. Sometimes you can have too much stuff. Amen. We all know about that. If you've experienced a move at any time in your life, like we did recently after 26 years living in the same house, and all the stuff that you collect and that you incorporate into what you're doing in other things. And I think that people have to be careful about trying to bring in so much outside of the Word of God in order to get spiritual help, because there is a ability in the Word of God. And then the second thing you see here is the aim of the Word of God. The Bible is a purposeful book. Amen. It's an intentional book. God has a reason for giving us this book. And then thirdly, there is this matter of accountability in verse 13. Accountability to the Word of God. It bring about a very sobering spiritual condition if we were to really, really be impressed with how accountable we are to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Preachers are accountable for how they handle the Word of God. Amen. People are accountable for how they hear the Word of God. Somebody brought that out this morning and talked about preparation for coming to the Lord's house to hear the Word of God. God will hold us accountable for how we come. I'm not just saying this to be nice, and you know why. I don't have to try to be nice. We've learned by now that I'm naturally nice. But it is true that in this church, there's the times I've been here, you have wonderful Bible teaching in the Sunday school hour.
Amen.
And the preaching.
Amen.
And people are going to be held accountable for how they come to receive such good Bible preaching and teaching.
Amen.
And what they do with it. Now I want to say just a few things about the Word of God before I go much further, and you can kind of maybe see how this applies as we go through. But when the Bible says talks about the Word of God here, there's more than one word that is translated word in the Bible. In other words, there's a word, a Greek word, graphos, which is referring to the written word and the pages and so on. That's where we get the word graphics and so on and so forth. There's the graphos, Word of God. This is the writing. And then there's other places where we read about the Word, and the Word, and you know this, is logos. The logos is a very, very familiar and frequently used word in the Bible. It's translated word, but it comes from the word logos, which has reference to the message of the Word of God. But what we're looking at here tonight in Ephesians chapter 4 is the same usage of the word that you find in Hebrews chapter 4 is what we have in Ephesians 6. When the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
That's not using the word graphos for the writing itself. It's not translated from the word logos, which is talking about the message of the word. We have a lot to say about the message.
Yes, sir.
But this word here, and the word referring to the sword of the Spirit as being the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, is from another word altogether, which is rhema, which has to do with the actual utterance of the Word of God. What I want to do here is to see how we need to underscore and highlight the importance of the utterance of the Word of God. After we've read the Word of God and we've gotten the message that is in the Word of God, then we want to be able to proclaim the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, how important the spoken Word of God is. We hear a lot of preaching about it and so on, but a lot of times I think people don't appreciate it. But thank God for all the good books that have been written.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank God for all of that, for all the books and the tracts and everything else. But nothing can replace the spoken Word of God. I want to say this real quick tonight. When the Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we know that's part of the Christian armor.
Right.
The Bible says, take the sword of the Spirit, the rhema, the spoken, the utterance of the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword. It's not a sword.
Right.
It's the only sword that the Holy Spirit uses is the spoken Word of God.
Amen.
That'll help us appreciate more what the Bible says when it says it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
To save them that believe. It was the utterance of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost that God used to save 3,000 souls. It's the spoken word is so important. That's why conferences like this are so good, is when you got people who come to preach the word and they actually preach with some word in their preaching, which is becoming more and more rare today. Amen.
Yes,
the spoken word of God is what is being spoken of right here in our text. Now let's look at these three things real quick tonight and keep in mind the importance of the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God, the actual utterance. Let me say this in Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn right there right quick. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, we've already said that word literally means the spoken word, the utterance. Then he says, lastly, he says, and he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now I want you to really pay attention to the next three words. Paul says, take the whole armor of God. He closes with talking about the sword of the Spirit. And then he says, praying with all supplication. And then he says this, he can't go any further without saying this. The burden of his heart, he's got to make this appeal and this plea when it's connecting prayer, their prayers, and the utterance, the preaching of the Word of God. He says, pray one another with all supplication and for me. And for me. What's Paul's specific prayer request? He says that utterance may be given unto me. Now I want you to keep that thought in mind. That utterance may be given unto me. That's right here in our text in Hebrews tonight. You know, a person can speak the word and not have any of this utterance.
Yep. Right.
Amen. You can have the spoken word of God without the Spirit actually using the sword.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's very dangerous.
Yes,
the word of God not spoken in the power of the Holy Spirit can have a blighting effect,
yep,
not a blessing effect,
right,
on people that hear it, even though it is the truth.
Yep.
Amen. That's why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
The Spirit quickens, but the flesh profiteth nothing.
That's right.
Amen. We need a revival of preachers and Sunday school teachers and parental exhorters of their children of the Word of God to understand that the Word of God is not effectual with only to the degree that the Holy Spirit is in it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let's look at these three things that are mentioned here. Number one, there is ability in the Word of God. We don't have to have a piano. We don't have to have an organ. I love to hear Sister Hall sing. I really do. I love that. I guess it's an alto voice. I like it. I got to be careful about that. I used to not know an alto from a alt whatever. And I accused somebody, a man in a choir one time, of I referred to him as a good soprano singer, and he got mad at me. I don't know why. I love good singing.
Amen.
You don't have to have singing.
Right.
That's a big part of worship.
Sure.
You don't have to have music. You don't have to have pews. You don't have to have chairs. You don't have to have carpet. You don't have to have building. You don't have to. But we cannot do without the spoken word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's ability in the word of God. Now, when the Bible says here, take the, and the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Almost all of you know, you've been taught, you know that this is a reference. If the backdrop is a picture of the Roman army and the Roman soldiers, and they had a very unique weapon in that day. It was designed especially for them. It was called a gladius, which was a short, about an 18-inch, somebody mentioned this morning, about 18 inches in length, sharp on both sides. I believe it was Brother Wells that mentioned it, with a point on it for piercing, for slashing both ways. It was unique. It was for up close and personal combat. Kind of combat that is in view when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil.
Right.
And the Spirit, the Bible says, brought Jesus out into the wilderness for that event. So we could just see that the only way to deal with the devil is with the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. The devil can't take it. You know what the devil kept trying to do? You've seen this. We've experienced this. Anybody's tried to deal with anybody about spiritual things? When Jesus brought up the Word of God, every time the devil wanted to change the subject. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh forth out of the mouth of God. The devil said, let's go up in the top of the tower here. He kept changing the subject. I found this out a long time ago. If you will just stay on point with the Word of God while they're talking about Baptists not believing in smoking and all of this kind, if you'll just stay on point with the Word of God, the Spirit of God will do His work in wielding the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. That's what the Roman soldier's sword was. It was designed to be quick. It was made of the best tempered forged steel they had in that day. It was designed to be quick and it was designed to be powerful. In other words, you think of that Roman soldier's sword and you think of its construction and that was peculiar to it. Amen. That's the way the Word of God is. That's the way our Bible is. The Bible is of peculiar construction.
Yes, sir, it is.
Amen.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible is. It is unique.
Yes, ma'am.
It is unique for use by the Christian soldier. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. Now, remember, the Word of God here is talking about the spoken Word. It's not talking about the written Word. It's not talking about the Word, the Logos, the message of the Word. The Word here is Rhema, and that's talking about the spoken Word. When you have the Graphe Word, the written Word, you can read it. When you have the message of the Word, that's... You got to get to the place where you not only read it, but you understand it. You get the message. But listen to this. The Bible does not come alive until it is spoken in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's when that spoken word comes into play.
Yeah.
That the Bible becomes alive, it becomes active, it becomes quick.
Amen.
Amen. How important the spoken word is.
Yeah.
Preaching.
Amen.
Amen. It's worth praying for. Amen.
Yeah.
Praying for the preacher.
Amen.
Praying for that kind of a church that's promoting and supporting Bible ministry.
Amen.
Think of the construction of that was peculiar to this sword. The strength of the Word of God is powerful. The sharpness of the Word of God. It's piercing. Verse 12 says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Let me just say this. When those Roman soldiers, with their sharp two-edged sword, their 18-inch or so daggers, so to speak, when they went into battle, shoulder to shoulder with those swords in their hands. And they were a mighty force.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Those Roman soldiers had a lot of confidence in their swords.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
They knew that they were of unique, peculiar construction. So they placed a lot of confidence.
Amen.
That's the way we should be.
Right.
Amen. We should have confidence in the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached in our church, we just know something is going to come of it.
Amen.
Something good is going to happen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And having the confidence that they had placed in their swords, the Roman soldiers prized their swords. You know, I believe that they loved their swords. I believe they took special care of them. That they place a particular value on them. David was that way. He wrote a whole psalm, 119th psalm, where he is lauding, he's in love with the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God, He goes on and on and on, not just there, but throughout the sort. The Psalms. One of the greatest events in the life of David, and it goes right along, it's a good illustration for this message. When David was on the run from Saul, amen, you remember this? He went to the priest, and he was looking for a sword. And the Bible says, and see, this sword is not only prized. I got a little ahead of myself. The sword is not only prized. I'll tell you the story I meant to tell you. First, David had his mighty men. Now, anybody, any moms that's would-be moms, about to be moms, got a baby name book, get ready. Here's a suggestion. One of his mighty men was named Dodo, the Ahohite. And the Bible gives a little biography of Dodo the Ahohite and how much he prized his sword. 2 Samuel 23 and 10, when the Philistines came out to do battle, Dodo the Ahohite confronted them, and the Bible says, he arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. Amen. Some of you men know what it is to be working with a tool and you work with it so long and so intensely that you can't hardly loosen your fingers from it. There's an impress. When you finally do, there's an impress left in you. Hey, the Word of God will leave its mark on you.
Amen.
Amen. If you will cling to it. And the Bible says, while he was cleaving to his sword until his hand was weary, the Lord wrought a great victory that day. You know what we need to do in this wicked, evil hour we live in? And it defies vocabulary now to describe the wickedness of this hour and the evil that we are submerged in. But you know what we need to do? We need to hang on to the Word of God, and God, the more we hold on to it, the more God will bring a victory to us. Amen. One thing I know about Dodo the Ahohite is he prized his sword. He wasn't about to turn it loose. Amen. Tell you one thing, he wasn't going to turn it loose for any phony, baloney swords.
Amen.
Amen. He knew what a real sword was.
Amen.
And he wasn't going to take any substitute for it. Amen. He didn't want a machete or a hatchet or a Philistine sword.
Amen.
These things are not rocket science. I said today, you just have to wonder why men today are turning from the Word of God. It's not rocket science. As somebody said and wrote a book by this title, things that are different are not the same. Amen. No phony, baloney, superficial, artificial swords for us. In the Roman army, they prized their sword because they had so much confidence in them. It's the way we ought to be. Don't turn loose your Bible.
Amen.
Don't trade your Bible for carnal methods.
Amen.
You know what the Bible is in a lot of Baptist, even independent Baptist churches today? It is nothing but a prop. They carry the Bible in there, the assumption being you're going to preach the Bible, everything's going to revolve around the Bible. To some of them, really, truth be known, the Bible's nothing but a nuisance to them. They want to get on with the singing. They're like somebody I heard a while back, and he said, well, I'm going to pray a little prayer and get that out of the way so I can. They don't realize how sickening they sound. Amen. Listen, beloved, I'm going to help somebody out tonight, right now. It boggles the mind to see what people are doing, how stupid people can be. to think that it's okay for men to marry men, women to marry women. We got tens of thousands, millions of people right now that are endorsing that on the highest level. Now listen carefully. You say, how can that happen? How does things like that happen? Why do men in independent Baptist churches give the Bible a second rate place in the services and go on doing this and finding all kinds of other things to do? Why do they do that? What could make a person be so stupid? Well, let me just tell you right now. Some of these things, it's beyond human capacity. Humanly speaking, it's impossible for anybody to be that stupid on their own. They have to get supernatural help to be that stupid. There has to be some force out of the invisible world step into their life and enable them to be that stupid. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Amen. Wickedness in high places. So the next time you see all of this, you think, how can people be so stupid? Not by themselves. Amen. It is the insanity of sin. And they had great confidence because they had confidence in their sword. They prized it because they'd proven it. And now we go back and we see David on the run from Saul. And he has no weapon. But he goes to the priest's house that he knows has a very special weapon.
Amen.
And it's the sword that he killed Goliath with.
That's right.
And he told the priest, I need a weapon. And the priest brought that sword. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there's no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. Now, I don't know about the rest of that context, but I like that last phrase. We can apply that to our Bible. There is none like that. Give it me. There's no album, no how to cope with your life, how to have a good marriage, how to raise children, how to manage your finances. There might be some good stuff like that. But there's nothing like the Bible. There's nothing like the Bible to answer all of those questions.
Amen.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like our Bible. Amen. The Roman soldiers, they all knew that they had confidence in their swords because they had been proven. They'd been proven in battle. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And we know this tonight. Our Bible has been proven again and again and again and again. Innumerable times our Bible has been proven. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Our fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words, God said, and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets... There's that spoken word again. Did they not take hold of your fathers? Your fathers are gone now, but if they were here, they would tell you that when my servants came and preached the word to them, my word took hold of them. Do you remember when the word of God took hold on you? Brother Crawford was talking about how the word of God took hold on him. And some of the things he said made me take a trip down memory lane and remember when I was 21 how the Word of God took hold on me. Thank God. Thank God. I wasn't expecting it. Amen. God did exceedingly abundantly above all that I asked or thought when the Word of God took hold on me. And that's not the last time it's taken hold on me. Amen. In fact, it's taking hold on me now. Amen.
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 Yes, amen.
Yahweh said, the word, my words, did they not take hold of your fathers? I mentioned those 3,000 religious people that spent a lot of money and traveled a lot of distance to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost. They were religious. They had their religion, Brother Gary. Brother Hall, they had their religion. And they showed up in Pentecost. And one day, Peter got up, preached the gospel, and the other apostles. And the word of God took hold on those religious but lost people. In time to save their souls from a devil's hell. The word of God took hold on them that day. They cried out, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why'd they say that? Because the word of God had taken hold on them. Amen. I love to see the word of God take hold on people. Amen. Take hold on them where they can't stay seated. They have to get up and go to the altar. They have to get up and give a testimony to the Lord. The word of God takes hold on them. Amen. Well, that's the, there's ability in the word of God. Amen. And then there's an aim to the word of God. An aim. The word of God is the most purposeful book in the world. What is the aim of the word of God? What's it for? Just to inspire songwriters? No. No, that's... First thing you see is you see the division right here in our text, Hebrews 4:12. The division that the word of God is intended to bring about. Amen. It's intended to bring about division. I wrote a little article a couple of weeks ago, and the title of the article was, Has Donald Trump Divided the Country? The answer is no. What he's done is brought to light by virtue of his presidency. This isn't a blanket endorsement, I'm just making a point. He's brought to light how much division already exists in this country. He's brought out the real character of people who are outraged and as incensed and smoldering in their hatred. Amen. He's brought out to people, if they didn't have a sense of it before, how divided the country already is because of sin. Amen. He's brought all that out. He didn't divide the country. He's just given an occasion for people to see how divided this country is. Well, now the Word of God brings about division. Like a sharp blade in a Roman sword dissects, disembowels, dismembers, cuts to the joints and the marrow. Amen. A sinner under conviction. Remember this? You remember this, Brother Hall? When a sinner is really under conviction, that word is being preached, it will take you apart. That's right. Amen. Is that not true, sister? The word of God will just take you apart. That's what the Roman sword was like. It's what the word of God does. It's intended to do that. It'll divide saints from sinners. Amen. John 7, verse 43. Jesus was preaching and says there was a division among the people because of him. You know that's why churches split? It's because of him. That's right. That's why they split when they split. They can come up with all kinds of explanations and excuses, but it really boils down whether they're going to follow Jesus and his ways or do their own thing. Amen. Luke 12, verse 4. And some people, the Word of God will cause separate saints from sinners. They don't want to hear that preaching. They've been sitting in that church for 30 years, but boy, you come and you start really preaching the Word of God, especially if you want to, jump over a lot of stuff, get right to it with them, preach on holiness.
Yes, sir.
It'll tear them up like my dad used to say, tear them up like a can of beans. Amen. That you will. They don't want to hear it. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, Jesus said, suppose you that I'm come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay.
That's right.
but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against her mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Happens all the time.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It happened in my own home when I got saved. Amen. Acts 17, verse 32 and 34, when they heard of the resurrection of the Lord, of the dead, here's that division. They were all up there on Mars Hill, Brother Wells, listening to the same preaching.
Yep.
Paul's preaching about the resurrection and the accounting they were going to give. And the Bible says, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Howbeit certain men clave unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. They said, this is what we've been wanting to know all of our lives.
Amen.
Some mocked.
Yep.
But then there were those who said, this is what we've been waiting for.
Amen.
Amen. See, every one of us in this room can relate to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Listen to this. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death. People are like that. They're in the congregation time to time. To one, as the word is preached, it's the savor of death unto death. But to others, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? He said, I preach knowing that. Some people are going to hear it. They're going to turn away. They're going to say no to the Holy Spirit, maybe for the last time. He knew that. He knew there'd be division when the word was spoken. But he said there's some sitting in the same pew, some sitting in the same row,
yep,
that the Word of God will be a savor of life unto life.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Their whole world will change that morning, that evening, when they hear the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. He said, for we are not of many, well, if you could only see our day, which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ, in the sight of God. I said to some of the brethren at the table this afternoon, it's just hard for me to understand. I think in terms of the simplest, basic, fundamental things. And it is just hard. If you can help me with this, somebody help me. It's hard for me to believe that people who have been reading the Bible for years and gone to Bible college and are in ministry and they believe when we get together, they say they do, God is in our presence. They say they believe God is an omnipresent God. It's hard for me to believe that they want to go into God's house in the presence of Almighty God to minister to God's people, dressed like some hippie that just crawled out from under a car he was trying to grease. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I gotta wonder if people like that really believe in the God of the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, that's just common sense.
Yeah.
Any of my little 10 or 12 year old granddaughters could figure that out. You really believe in God? And you're going to come in there in your skinny jeans and your ripped out knees and sit on a bar stool and try to be relevant. Amen. And the sad thing is we got a lot of independent Baptists trying to get in that, easing into that same kind of stuff. They generally start with taking their ties off. Now, I've never seen anything like that in my whole life. But I think sometimes that's the way it begins. They get their ties off. Next thing you know, you say, what's so important about dress? A whole lot of stuff. In fact, it's brought up before you even get past the third chapter in Genesis.
Amen.
Amen. And you know who's got his eye on how people are dressed? God Almighty. In other words, God cared about it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you can run, but you can't hide from the truth.
Amen.
Now, the Bible still does this. It divides. The Bible will divide the saint from the sinner, and it'll divide the soul from the spirit. Now, there's a whole lot of preaching here. There's an hour or two worth of preaching just to get started. I was in Houston, Texas a few weeks ago, and the pastor made the comment, he said, and this was brought up this morning, the soul and the spirit. That pastor said a lot of people don't even know the difference between their soul and their spirit. Man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Man was created in the image of God. Therefore, God is a triune God. Man is a tripartite being. Man was created with a body which is sense conscious. Amen. Cut me, I'll bleed. Man is created with a soul which is self-conscious. That's the emotions. That's all brought on by your way you think. And man was created a spiritual being with a spirit that is God conscious. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, what God said would happen, happened. God said, in the day that you do this, that you disobey me, you'll die. We say, well, they did die, physical death. No, God was talking about something deeper than that. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When man fell into sin, he brought the curse on the human race, where the spirit has descended to the level of the soul, and the soul, that emotional part of us, interferes all the time with the spiritual part, and clogs up and blocks up the ability of our spiritual part to be used of God.
Amen.
That goes all the way back to the beginning of the message. The spoken word has to be preached and spoken in the power of the Spirit. But when the flesh and carnality get in the way, we're in trouble today.
Amen.
We are in bad trouble right here today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
In many places.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. We got a lot of, I think we got a lot of many, too many unsaved people in pulpits.
Yes, sir.
Out of their own mouths they condemn themselves.
Amen.
Amen. And we've got men in the pulpit, we all have to battle with this all the time, that can be too fleshly, too carnal, and keep the spiritual part of us from empowering what comes out of our mouths.
Right.
You might get people to hoop and holler and laugh and cry and all of that for a while. It'll last about as long as slobber on a calf's mouth.
Right.
Amen. That's how long all that emotions last.
Right.
When it's in the Spirit of God, it'll be like it worked for Brother Crawford.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So you have a division. That's one aim of the Word of God. I'm going to preach as fast as I can now. And then there's something else the Bible's intended to do. And you know what it is? It's to discern. It's intended, verse 12, for the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what? When you're listening to the preaching of the Word of God under the power of the Spirit, and you're sitting out there listening, you came in thinking you're pretty hot stuff. And then you sit there, and all of a sudden the Word of God begins to make you discern. What a low down, sneaking, cowardly, fleshly, pompous fill in the blanks. Amen. That happens when you're lost. You go in thinking, I'm as good as anybody else, probably better than most people here. Before you leave, you thinking, I wish I had what some of these people have.
Amen.
Amen. Even after you get saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. You get too big for your britches.
Yeah.
The Word of God will bring you right back down where you belong.
Amen.
Amen. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, the Bible will do this. It'll bring about a revelation of the state of a sinner's spirit. I mean, just in a matter of 30 minutes, they can realize the state of their spiritual condition, that they're dead.
Yes, sir.
In trespasses and sin. It'll also bring about the release of the saint's spirit.
Amen.
Remember that spirit I talked about? It's like it's been clogged, closed off.
Yep.
The soul, the emotions, the flesh, the carnality's in the way. And you know what makes all the difference in whether the spirit can get through and affect the soul, make us think right and act right and feel right, is the Word of God.
Amen.
How we affecting the way we think.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the Bible says so much about the mind.
Right.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yes, sir.
If we get right in our mind, the channel of blessing will be open and the spirit can begin to work and straighten us out.
Right.
Hey, the Bible will bring about the release of the saint's spirit. Yeah, that's so important. Let me close with this. Here's the ability of the Word of God. There's nothing like it. There is nothing like our Bible.
Right.
Nothing like it. What power?
Amen.
What power? You don't have to be a slick-talking salesman type to bring somebody to Christ. Just read the Word of God to
Amen.
Them and talk.
Amen.
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 Word of God will do its work.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you Baptists believe that. Can we get back to that? I just want to show you this verse here in Romans 6 and 23. Amen. I've seen it again and again and again. They get saved. You say, I promised you we'd come back and talk about what Baptists believe about cigarettes. Oh, I don't want to hear about it. I don't know why I said that. That's right. Let the Word of God loose.
Amen.
Amen. And so it's able. And it certainly has an aim. It's right here. Twofold aim. And then the Bible says this. Verse 13. We're accountable to the Bible. We're accountable to the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. We are accountable to what we hear preached.
Amen.
Boys and girls, you are accountable for how your mother and father exhort you out of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. When they open their mouth and tell you this is not right, this is not what the Bible wants you to do, you're accountable for that. Amen. In a million ways, you're accountable for it.
Yes, sir.
They can show you clearly in the Bible how to dress. You can sneak off and halfway to school or whatever, change your clothes like I used to do. I wasn't even a Christian or in a Christian home. But there are lots of things my parents would not let me do. They were brought up in Christian homes. But they were careless. Amen. So I was brought up never going to church. But my mother would say, you keep your pants pulled up and you put a belt on. This back in the day when, you know, it was cool not to wear a belt. Wore your hair all puffed up and if you could grow sideburns, you wanted to do that. I'd get on my way to school, man, I'd take that belt off and I'd curl it up and put it in my book bag. I did a lot of stuff. But I was accountable.
Yep.
You're accountable to God, what you do with the spoken word.
Yep.
When the word is being spoken and it's about your marriage, you better listen up. God will hold you accountable for what you heard.
Amen.
Amen. So when any of these things, there's an accountability. Two things in verse 13, real quick. Here's the accountability to the Word of God that's in view here. Number one, verse 13 says, there's a universal awareness. You know what this accountability involves? It involves this. God sees everything. He knows everything. He knows who's here and who's not here tonight. He knows who's here and who was really eager to come and who didn't really feel about coming. He knows who didn't really care about coming so much, but they did come and now they feel glad that they did come. Amen. God's aware of everything. Nothing. He's not unaware of anything, because the Bible says in verse 13 that neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. In other words, God is his own eyewitness to the things that men do. Amen. It's a good thing to keep in mind. In 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. You know what a common refrain is in the Bible? You check this out with the concordance. See, God says it over and over and over and over and over. He says this. It says this, God saw. In fact, you go back to Genesis 6 and 5. It's day like ours, only ours is on steroids for evil. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. God sees everything going on in America right now. He sees every baby being put under the knife before they're ever born. God sees every one of those bloody hands dealing with it in that hospital room. When they throw it in the sink or in the trash can, God sees it and marks her down. Amen. God sees all of this perversion. People don't want to be reminded of it, but it's our business to be reminding them of it.
Right.
Isaiah 59 and verse 15 is talking about where truth falleth in the street. And the Bible says the Lord saw it. He knows what's going on. There's a universal awareness. David said, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Job 34 and 21, his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. And on I go. I preached a series of sermons a while back on the names of God. One of God's names is Elroi. E-L-R-O-I. It means specifically the God who sees. I think we've got a lot of people today, Brother Hall, a lot of preachers and pastors and independent Baptist churches who think God is blind. They think God has developed cataracts. They think God is deaf. They think God has grown senile as the Ancient of Days. Well, God isn't any of those things. Amen. He sees it all. All mankind is universally accountable to God. God's aware and he doesn't miss anything about anybody at any time. Amen. Amen. Now there's a universal awareness here where God is concerned and where the Word is concerned. And there's an unavoidable appointment. It's right here in the Bible. All of this put together, bottom line, is all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom, four words, we have to do. People today say, I'm not going to have anything to do with God. Well, that doesn't mean he's not going to have anything to do with you. I don't know if we're on the radio now, but out there in radio land, you may not want to have anything to do with God, but God is having and will have something to do with you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's never been a time in our past when we've not, all of us, had dealings with God. There's never a time in anybody's present when they're not having to do with God. And our prospects are sure to include are having to do with God. Amen. And there's an appointment set up for an analysis of everybody's life. I thought I knew what the word analysis meant, and I found out I did, but I went to the dictionary anyway, and it means a detailed examination. This God who doesn't miss anything, every creature is manifest in His sight. There's coming a day when there's an appointment they will have to meet that is unavoidable. They can't postpone it. They can't cancel it. They're going to show up for a complete analysis by Almighty God. And it'll be a complete analysis. Not a thing will be missed. Jesus said there's nothing secret that won't be revealed. And it'll be a consequential analysis. Every man is going to stand before God and give an account for his life. The saved will do it at the judgment seat of Christ. Won't lose their salvation, but they might lose some rewards and a lot of other things. The unsaved will have an analysis made of their lives at the great white throne judgment of God, upon which the nail-pierced Savior will be seated.
That's right.
Amen. And the Bible says the books will be opened. John said, I saw a great white throne. I'm going to give you this verse and quit. John said, I saw a great white throne. This is the God with whom we have to do. And Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books. You know, may not like the book of the Bible, the books in the Bible. You have no use for any, not one out of the 66 books of the inspired Word of God. One of these days, the lost will be judged according to what's written in those books. And the Bible says, hey, nobody's going to be so deep under the sludge at the bottom of the deepest ocean that they'll be able to stay away from here.
Right.
The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the Word of God tonight. That's the written Word. That's the message of the written Word. And the written Word has been spoken and preached, and it pleased God through the preaching of the Word of God that men might be saved.
Amen.
The Word of God is quick and powerful. Thank God for it. If you're saved, thank God for the Word of God.
Right.
Thank God for it.
Amen.
When I was in school in Springfield years ago, I was in a graduate course. I was taking a course on Judaism, not that I want, or Western religions, and had a rabbi as a teacher. He invited the class over to the synagogue one day, and I went, not that I was considering Judaism, but I wanted to see what they did there. And the person that was opening the Bible, their Old Testament scriptures, I guess, and he'd open and he'd read, and then he would do this before he turned the page. Then he'd turn the page, read that, and then kiss that. If they can feel that way about the scriptures, what about we who've experienced and know what we have in our hands?
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful.
Amen.
And hallelujah, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. Amen.
Amen.
What a word.
Amen.